it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
There's only one. There's only one pod in the Motor City that's keeping you up to date on everything Detroit sports. This is the Daily Ticket with your host, Jeff Rieger.
Hey, everybody, what's going on? Jeff Rieger, another episode of The Daily Ticket. It's Tuesday, the 30th of April, almost May 2024. How's everybody doing? Draft has come and it's gone. I must admit, I enjoyed yesterday checking out some articles about the NFL draft, watching videos, doing a radio show, listening to people, how much fun they had. I still can't get over how we just destroyed, killed, mutilated that attendance record. Like, I had to do a show yesterday, and I didn't know I had to do a show. Tigers got postponed, so they got two games today. And I started off the show just talking about breaking the attendance record after Mike and Rico. And I realized how proud I was of the achievement. And I'm not one of these guys that goes walking around saying, hey, I'm a proud Detroiter. I'm a proud Michigander. I mean, I'm happy to be from this area. I don't know how much time I spend telling people that, right? But when I heard Gretchen Whitmer go to the big stage, admit that we broke the record, and then I heard people talking about it yesterday on the show. I mean, it gave me chills. It fired me up. I'm still so proud of us. We did such a great job. We murdered the draft. It was great to see. It's fantastic. I can't get over it. I've had people call me from out of town saying, man, that looked like a good time. I'm like, yeah, that was a good time. Here's the other thing, too. I think it was Jim Costa on the morning show. They were going over their winners and losers of the NFL draft. And Costa had the Packers as his losers simply because it's going to be very difficult for Green Bay to follow up Detroit for the NFL draft. And I agree with him. He's absolutely right. There's a lot of people going around saying, oh, the only reason the draft was so successful was because it was in the Midwest. And Detroit's an easy place to get to. And it's centered. It's in the center of so many areas that have football teams. And while maybe that's the reason, I don't know. I tend to believe the reason it was so successful is because we have unreal fans. And the Lions have stunk for such a long time. And now that they're good, the fans really want to soak it all in. We've always been a Lions town. That's why the draft was so successful in my mind. No way it's as successful next year in Green Bay. There's just no way. Plus, where are they going to have it? Lambeau? Green Bay's got a lot to live up to. Forgive me if I don't think they're going to break our record, shatter our record. I'm curious, is this a big deal to you? I was talking to Mike and Rico, and Mike specifically said on the air, big deal, what's the record prove? And I think it proves that we're awesome fans, but I also think it's like one of those things that we're proud of. Like, you should be proud of it. You knew you were having the draft. It could have went the other way. It could have not been successful. There could have been incidents that happened that gave us a bad name, but it could not have gone better. And almost a million people, 750,000 people in downtown Detroit over the course of 3 days, we killed it. It means something to me. I'm proud about it. What about you? Anyway, let's move on, shall we? Because I thought yesterday was interesting. Panay Sewell, the fine right tackle, soon to be left tackle for the Detroit Lions, talked to the media after signing a four-year, $112 million extension. Makes him the highest paid tackle in the NFL. and he deserves it. He was an All-Pro last year. He was Brad Holmes' first pick, and he's been outstanding. And I'm glad he's in Detroit for another 4 years, and he will soon be the left tackle for the Lions once Taylor Decker is no longer here, whether he walks away or retires or whatever the case is. He's in the last year of his deal. So I thought some of the cuts from Sewell were pretty interesting. I thought this podcast we would focus on Sewell because he's a pretty interesting guy, and I'm not sure that Lions fans know it. So I picked out about 6 or 7 cuts. I wanted to give you the best of Penei Sewell talking to the media yesterday, celebrating that massive contract extension. And I thought it was cool because when he walked into the room, he was wearing 2 Lays. And he talks about the fact that Brad Holmes gave him the Lays, the celebratory Lays. Check it out.
No, shout out to Brad for this one. That's my guy. He blessed me with the Lays right before I got in here. And that right there goes a long way to me. Just those little gestures of him trying to understand where I'm from and understand the culture and knows how much it's meant to me. And just for him to kind of wrap his arms around me and just kind of showing love, it means a lot. And it goes back to draft day, the way they all reacted. And I never forget that. And that's something that will always stay with me. In my heart, in my mind, and everything I do, and I give my heart and soul to this team, to this organization, and to the city.
So Penei Sewell is from a village in American Samoa near the capital of Pago Pago. As a child, he began playing American football alongside his 3 brothers, and his father Gabriel became the coach of the sport as well. So obviously he talked about his culture, and Brad Holmes decided to give him a couple of Lays. And that's pretty sweet. Brad Holmes trying to connect with a guy that he just made the highest paid tackle in all the NFL. But it is little things like that, that I think Sewell just said it there, that really makes you tell the difference between the Lions now and how the Lions used to be, between all those failed GMs and coaches then and how good this organization is now. Another thing I found so interesting from Sewell was the fact that he lives here. He's from American Samoa, right? But he lives in Detroit year round. In fact, he loves our city and our state so much that he does not see himself ever leaving. Yes, you get athletes that come to town and, you know, they live here for the season and they move back to wherever they're from for the off season. Very few athletes, I feel. There's some, of course, but very few athletes decide to make their home in this area. Like Chris Osgood seems like he's a guy. Chris Draper works for the organization, seems like he does, right? Bill Laimbeer did and now is here in Michigan. But for the most part, I think guys go back to wherever, you know, they're from or wherever they live in the offseason. Not Penei Sewell. He loves it here, which makes us love him even more. Take a listen.
Oh, man, it means a lot and more. The way this city has treated me, and not only me, but like my family, it's something that I never even imagined. I didn't think, because you hear all the stories about coming into the league and how hard it could be with all the pressure and living up to expectations and all that. But I just came in with a mindset of just giving it my all and hopefully everything else will fall in line. And I think that's what's happening. But, yeah, it means a lot and something I don't take lightly. And it's honestly an easy transition to call this place home. I did grow up watching the Lions, watching Megatron and I'm not going to say that name. Megatron do his thing. But, yeah, it's crazy. And truly blessed, forever blessed. And it's a place that could be my forever home. And I'm so comfortable here. I stay here on the off seasons. I don't go nowhere. Yeah.
Okay, so a couple things there that I like. Number one, he said, I grew up watching Calvin Johnson, and then he stopped himself. Was the next name he was going to say Matthew Stafford? I think it was. But I also love the part that, like, listen, I love Detroit. They love me. They've shown me love. So I'm going to make maybe my forever home here. I think that's awesome. I think that's cool. But what's also cool is he's going to be a mentor. So a lot was made over the Lions' 4th-round pick over the weekend. Brad Holmes on Saturday decided to trade away a third-round pick next season to bring in Giovanni Manu. And this was kind of a controversial pick because I think a lot of Lions fans are like, dude, who is this guy? Who the heck is this Manu character? I know he's from British Columbia, Canada. Nobody seems to know anything about him. You spent a third-round pick to draft an offensive tackle that isn't going to play this year, more than likely. Brad Holmes admitted that he was a project. I think fans were kind of miffed. I think fans were kind of bewildered. But, I mean, we talked about it yesterday in the podcast. I see no problem with this move, especially considering if Brad Holmes loves this kid, and he's huge. He's 6'8", 352 pounds. But maybe he turns out to be a right tackle of the future. And if he does, a third-round pick is nothing to spend for a guy that can play offensive line for you for 3 to 5 to 7 years, right? But it's interesting, too, because Manu loves Sewell. He grew up watching Sewell. He's from nearby Tonga, and then he moved to Canada. So, of course, Sewell was asked about Manu and the fact that Manu grew up a Sewell fan. And Sewell talked about what an honor that is to have Manu mention the fact that he looked up to Sewell when he was playing football in Canada. Take a listen.
No, it means a lot. And I was just having a conversation with my wife the other day of how the kind of the roles switch and how I kind of looked up to players and how I try to do things a certain way that they would do it. And now that where I'm at today and seeing all these players look up to me, it's a responsibility that I won't take lightly. And I promise I'll get back. Just, it's in my nature. And to see players to talk so highly of me, I have to do that. And I can't wait to go to work with those guys. And I'm pretty sure they're great guys.
Okay, so I love that comment from Sewell because he gets it. Like, he looked up to a bunch of guys playing football when he was younger. Now he's in the league and now kind of a veteran. The highest paid tackle, guys looking up to him, and he takes it upon himself to make sure that those guys are ready to go. But he did mention the guys that he looked up to in that cut. So he was asked about his life. Since being in Detroit, a lot has happened to Penei Sewell. Take a listen. Time really is flying.
Oh, yeah. Time's been flying, and I don't like it. Without a doubt. It makes me kind of feel like I'm getting older, but I'm not. You know, I'm still young, and I'm going to ride that wave. And but, yeah, it's crazy kind of walking into the building, I think, last week to come sign. And it was a little different. I had my parents when I got drafted out here, and we kind of walked through the building and just starstruck at looking at my locker, looking at the facility, looking at the indoor field. But now I got two kids. And
we took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
It's a blessing, man. Like, that's really what it is. Just to be able to share that with Malachi and my baby girl. And just kind of showing them a dream. Like, it doesn't have to be this one right here. Yeah, just showing them that a dream is possible. And that you are literally capable of doing anything you set your mind to. And I hope I'm an example of that. And I try to do that every day.
I mean, how do you not love Penei Sewell? This guy is awesome, isn't he? That's why I decided to bring you some of his cuts. I'm not exactly sure how many Lions fans know how awesome this guy is, but I got more for you. And this is my favorite cut, okay? Okay, maybe this is my second favorite cut. Then I'll play you my favorite cut. Because, you know, the old debate, who cares more, the athletes that lose a tough game or the fans that have to go through their favorite athletes losing a tough game, right? I mean, you see it all the time. Athletes losing, go to the off season, and then they go to their vacation homes and they play golf all the time and they have their gorgeous wives and they have all kinds of money. And you ask yourself, did it really upset them to lose that game as much as it upset me? We've had these debates on the radio before. I believe that fans, most of the time over athletes, are affected more by the losses because they have no control in the losses. The athletes get to move on, prepare for the next season, and again, enjoy their life because the majority of them are rich, correct? So I wonder how a game like the NFC title game really wears on the athletes that lost it. Like, for instance, the Lions. Like, are they constantly watching it or have they moved on with their lives? It's probably healthy that they move on with their lives, but you know how some obsessions are. You put so much into the game that you probably can't let it go. Like, for instance, I look at what's going on in Toronto. Later on tonight, there's a great chance they get knocked out of the playoffs. Talking about the Maple Leafs. They got their best player, Austin Matthews, probably not going to play in the most important game of the season because of some mystery illness. They got their other guy, Mitch Marner, from Toronto, throwing temper tantrums on the bench. They got another player, William Nylander, who didn't play in the first three games because he couldn't, because of some mystery illness. I mean, these guys, and I listen to a lot of Toronto radio, it's believed that they don't give a fuck. That's what it's believed. Now, I'm not saying they don't. I'm sure they do to an extent because they get paid a lot of money to play hockey, and it's who they are. But that's a bad feeling as a fan, to think that you care more than your team cares. But you can't say that about Penei Sewell, and you can't say that about the Detroit Lions. Because I think it was Dan Miller that asked Sewell, how often do you think about the NFC title game? How often do you watch it back? And I love his freaking answer. Take a listen.
Wow, a sensitive topic. man, I watch that game a lot. I let it burn just because of how close we were. But, yeah, I watch it a lot, not only from that standpoint, but just trying to get better also and seeing what went wrong and what we could work on. So, I say this all the time. It's on. Like, as simple as that. Probably like 10 times, honestly. Yeah, it's TV copy to iPad to even on my phone. So,
all right. So, don't you love that response? Penei Sewell's got a busy life. He's got two kids. He's got a whole lot of money now. He's got a lot going on, I got to believe. 10 times already in the offseason, he's watched back the NFC title game. He said, "I let it burn." Now, if that doesn't act as motivation for next year, I have no idea what would. That's awesome. I love that. I love that so much. I think it's fantastic. That's a great cut. I love knowing that the guys on my team give a damn. And you might be saying to yourself, wow, those are low standards. Because at a minimum, they should give a damn. And I would agree with you. But how many times do you think to yourself, maybe they don't? And again, that's why I use the Maple Leafs reference. But I did mention that was my second favorite cut. Here's my favorite cut. Penei Sewell's pretty successful. He signed the big contract. He won All-Pro. According to Pro Football Focus, he's the best tackle out there. He's going to be one of the better left tackles in football, if not the best left tackle. He's still young. He's got a lot going on. But he didn't care about any of that stuff. All he cares about is winning a Super Bowl. Take a listen to this response about all the success that he's already had. I love this cut even more than the last cut. And that's hard because I really love the last cut.
To win, we need it all. And just like I had a conversation with Satan after we just found out that we were getting the contracts and going to sign it, that's our goal. It's to host that trophy at the end of the day and to to just do that, just to win, bro. Like, it's nothing else to it. Like, all those individual accolades don't mean nothing. Like, I want the big boy, and I want it now. So
he doesn't care about individual accolades. He wants the big boy. Talking about the Lombardi. Oh, baby. That fires me up a little bit. I think that's a great comment. So there you go. There's Penei Sewell. I thought it'd be a fun podcast if you just hear from your soon-to-be left tackle, the highest-paid tackle in all of football. Seems like a really good guy, doesn't he? Entertaining, interesting guy as well. And he's going to be in Detroit for a very long time. As you heard, probably going to live here for the rest of his life, which is pretty awesome. Anyway, I thought that was interesting stuff. So I decided to send it your way. Let's read some comments, shall we, from yesterday's podcast, and then let you go on your way and enjoy your Tuesday. Yesterday's podcast was about the draft. We destroyed the draft. We killed the draft. We mutilated the draft. We did a hell of a job, Detroit. We really did. We talked about it at the very start of the podcast. I want to give you some of the comments on this video and the podcast because we crushed the draft. At Detroit Tony says, great show as always, Jeff. Oh, thank you. It would appear at this stage that Brad Holmes hit it out of the park. I live in North Carolina. I was able to get feedback from other people about how Detroit has been perceived during the draft. And from afar, Detroit seemed to be the true star of this weekend. It left me feeling very proud to be from Southeast Michigan and a Lions fan. Lastly, when are you changing the official name of the show to Olive's Daily Ticket with Jeff? Oh, that's right. My daughter made an appearance on yesterday's podcast. Everybody loves it when Olive pops in. At Brian Nassar says, I can't believe how old Olive is now. I remember when Wojo was making fun of your newborn baby girl's name, LOL. Yes, he calls her Pickle. King Derwin says, great show, bro. He also says, I think they're going to let Kirby take his time coming back, start Branch at safety, play the Raiders corner at nickel. Talking about Robertson, and start Terry and Davis at corner for the opener of the season. Yeah, we have no idea who's going to start as far as the corners are concerned, but you know what? They do have a lot of options. Brad Holmes did a nice job of making sure that was the case. How about at King Dom Thinker 9794, your Rock Rieger, journalist, family man, and all-around good dude with a thumbs up. I got to tell you, I got to bring Olive on the podcast more. People love Olive so much that they like me. It's crazy. At Go Lions 157, talking about Giovanni Manu and the fact that the Lions picked him where they did. And a lot of fans said, oh, he was going to be available later in the draft. Go Lions 157. The thing with Manu is that he met with the Eagles. We moved in front of the Eagles. Just a thought. No, I agree with you. Listen, I said this yesterday. I think you can argue about a lot of things. I think you could be a little annoyed with taking a position or taking the player at said position. I think you can have an opinion on a whole lot of things, but I never like to say, well, he would have been there in the draft if you waited, because you don't know. All it takes is one team to fall in love with the guy that you're in love with and you don't get him. So what? You trade a third round pick. You're going to be fine. Not a big deal, especially if Manu works out and is your starting right tackle for years to come. I got one more for you. At Young Acorn. Olive is so funny. It's surprising she's so quiet considering you're her dad, LOL. She's not that quiet. She just is quiet in front of people she doesn't know. She's not that quiet at all. She's more like me than you think. And then how about one more? I lied. At Twins 111105, Olive, sorry, Rieger, but she's the best part of this pod. Love you, man, Rieger, just kidding. No, you're right. She is the best part of the pod. I don't dispute that. My daughter is immensely more talented than me. There's no question about it. Much more fun to watch on the Daily Ticket, I'd say. Without a doubt, she is. Anyway, that's going to do it for the Daily Ticket, guys. It's been another fun episode, I like to think. Tomorrow, I got a question from somebody on the radio about the Lions and Jared Goff. I want to run it by you because I think it's a really interesting question. So we'll do that. Plus, at some point, we got to talk about Tarek Skubal. And at some point, we got to talk about Spencer Torkelson, too. So look forward to that on upcoming episodes on the Daily Ticket as well. Anyway, go enjoy your Tuesday. We'll catch you tomorrow, if you be so kind. Follow, rate, review. Do everything you normally do with the podcast. And we'll see you on a hump day. Bye, everybody.